Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the binder under Mid-Atlantic Plans, there's a PowerPoint presentation regarding spiny doctor specifications. By the way, there should be a separate tab for spiny doctor, which not Mid-Atlantic Plans, since this is New England and the Mid-Atlantic, just a little subtlety. These are the specifications that the Mid-Atlantic Council has adopted for 2013-2015. There is a PowerPoint presentation that can be given by Phil Herring that details the logic behind the 2013 through 2015 specifications. I will turn to you, Mr. Chairman. In the interest of time, we could not give that presentation and go right to the motions that need to be addressed by this council. I'll leave it up to you, Mr. Chairman. Everyone has seen the presentation. Again, it's in the binder. What is your pleasure?
Well, we're at least a little bit of ahead of schedule at the moment. I don't know how long the presentation is, but
about 25 slides. But that includes the title.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's
I can do it pretty quickly.
Let's do a quick run through on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I suppose that would provide some benefit, especially to new council members who may not have some of the history behind. We have arrived at this point in time where we have specifications that are quite attractive to those fishermen who desire to continue to be landing, to continue to land spiny dogfish as an important part of their annual income. So, all right, if you would.
Okay. If I'm going too fast, you slow me down, please. This is not working. There we go. This slide shows you the process for setting the total allowable catch, including setting the ABCs, taking into account scientific uncertainty, management uncertainty, setting the tack, counting for discards, and then coming up with the total allowable catch. This shows you the history of spiny dogfish catch, total catch, and broken out by landings and discards. And you can see the last couple of years, the landings have actually exceeded the discards. In 1997, the stock, female stock, was overfished. In 2010, the stock is rebuilt, and the quotas were expanded in the last three-year period. This is a spawning stock biomass. Again, I'll just keep going so you get the picture here. It's been growing smartly for the last 7 years or so. This is the estimates of spawning stock biomass. As you can see, it's above the spawning SSB target and well above the threshold, obviously. Fishing mortality rate is below the threshold, and that's another positive sign for the health of the stock. So in summary, the stock is not overfished. Overfishing is not occurring. Both the fishing mortality rate and spawning stock biomass are stable. The biomass in 2012 is estimated at 215,000 metric tons, exceeding the maximum SSB target. Fishing mortality rate is about half of the FMSY. The Mid-Atlantic Council puts together a fishery performance report, and these are some interesting observations about the holistic aspect of the fishery, including the effects of market forces and some of the other considerations, such as the benefits of having longer-term three-year specifications as opposed to annual specifications. Some of the geographical effects, Oregon Inlet closing does affect the North Carolina commercial effort. So these are all items to consider in evaluating the fishery and considering the motions that's going to come up. This is the previous year and the current year quota and landings. The green line is just a straight line from zero to the quota, and if you cross that line, you exceed your quota. And so the yellow line in the bottom figure corresponds to the blue line in the figure above, that the landings in the previous year exceeded the quota. The fishing stopped, and that's why it tapered off there. This year, we're on a trajectory below that catch quota. This is a detailed slide showing you how the SSC, it's a summary of how the SSC came up with the ABC determination. I'm not going to go into the details. It's essentially the same process that our SSC uses in evaluating the ABC targets, and this is their recommendation for ABCs for the next 3 years. This is a summary table. This appears again later with all 3 years, but the point here in having this slide here is to show you the middle line, their management uncertainty buffer, is calculated by looking at the average of quota overages in the previous year, and then that essentially is defined as the quantification of management uncertainty. This is just a summary of the catch versus quota and fishing mortality versus threshold over the last several years, 10 years or so. I'm not going to belabor this one. This is the comparison of total and estimated dead discards, discard mortality. So you can see that it's substantially below total discards. You can't read this table on the screen, or I can't anyway, but it's essentially the next 3 years, and it gives all of the reference points, the management uncertainty, the catch target as you work down, discards subtracted out, total allowable landings, and ultimately, bottom line, the commercial quota, which is going to be summarized in the motions. You'll be able to read them in a few seconds. This is the regional office analysis of the trip limit. That was presented to the monitoring committee. Basically, the conclusion of this analysis was the 3,000-pound trip limit is constraining for about a third of the dogfish trips. And if the trip limit were to be increased, it would impact a large proportion of the trips. Second set of conclusions, the fishery may be able to land a 40-plus million-pound quota with a 3,000-pound or slightly higher trip limit. Trip limits significantly higher than 3,000 pounds would likely result in in-season closures because of the quota. This is a summary of the... Oh, what happened there? There it is. Whoops. This is the summary of all of the management measures that are going to be incorporated into the motion, the ABCs, the ACL, the ACT, total allowable catch, commercial quota, RSA set aside. This is not, the Mid-Atlantic has now adopted an RSA 3% provision off the quota, and then the trip limit. Now, the next set of slides, I'm not going to go through them because essentially I included them to show you that the Mid-Atlantic Council took each item as a separate motion, and they all passed unanimously, and so I'm not going to go through, and that ends my presentation.
John Bowling.
Phil, could you go back to the fishery performance slide with the graphs? Fishery performance report one.
Oh.
When I heard this explained at the Mid-Atlantic, it was to make a point on the trip limit and how, if I remember correctly, and I'm getting on in years, so my memory isn't as good as it used to be, it was if dogfish move offshore and you don't catch that many to begin with the 3,000 pound trip limit, you never catch up. So the straight line is, if you're catching 3,000 pounds, straight line, every day, you hit the target on the last day. But if for some reason, whether they're offshore or not, you don't catch them early on, you never catch up. That's the bottom graph. So a 4,000-pound limit allows you to catch up.
Thank you for that additional explanation. I neglected to bring that up, but that is exactly the way I understood it, too.
Okay.
Any other questions for Phil? Doug.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last year when we received this report in Dr. Rago's stock assessment, there was a graph that was presented that showed that in the out years, due to a number of years of poor recruitment after the turn of the century, that the spawning stock biomass was actually going down for a period of time. And looking at this report, everything is rosy. Has that changed? I don't see that dip occurring, or is that dip going to occur beyond 2015 here? I'm just curious as to what happened to that dip that we saw last year.
Well, that was, I think that was in further out years than are covered in this. And the SSC considered all of that assessment information when they deliberated.
Anyone else? David.
Yeah, it's to the point made by Doug, or the question asked by Doug. You know, the dip still occurs. However, it is a dip that brings us slightly below the target. We never go near the threshold, and then we rather rapidly turn it around and cross over the target and then skyrocket to biomass levels much higher than the target. And that's due in part to the apparent excellent recruitment that we have had from the dogfish. Female dogfish have produced a lot of pups, and the index, the pup index, has grown dramatically, similar to the sorts of indices we witnessed when, before there was any commercial fish or spiny dogfish. So all looks well regarding the future in terms of anticipated recruitment and where we are relative to the target.
Any other questions for Phil? Dave.
Phil, did the presentation at the mid discuss the fact that with this year's 3,000-pound trip limit, there were a lot of days you couldn't sell dogfish? The processors simply couldn't. They shut us off in July. I mean, we couldn't, at least 2 days a week, we couldn't even bring them in. And I'm concerned with raising it to 4,000 that we're just going to exacerbate the problem and make it even worse. Did they discuss that at all?
I wasn't there, but I'll turn to somebody who was.
Chairman Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response, we did hear testimony both in support of 3,000-pound trip limits and in support of the higher 4,000-pound limit, recognizing that in most of the mid-Atlantic states, the states would still be free to set trip limits in their state waters, at least, that could be different than that. So we ended up setting that as a ceiling. But some of the comments in support of the higher trip limit included the fact that fuel prices now are at very high levels, and just the operating economics make it difficult to be able to go out and cover operating expenses with 3,000 pounds of fish. They did hear concerns from some of the processors, given the fact that processing capacity now is a fraction of what it was back when the fishery was operating at a 60 million pound a year level in the 1990s. And yet the fishermen, I think, were comfortable taking their chances and being able to catch 4,000 pounds in a day, recognizing that there may from time to time be constraints on what could be delivered to the market. So there were comments in support of both levels of trip limits.
Phil, and then...
Yeah, I meant to mention this this aspect of the trip limit. The states, just reemphasize what Rick said, the states have the ability to set a lower trip limit if they're... people want to do that.
John, and then Paul.
Yeah, to that point, I'd add two pieces of information. I think there was also, expressions expressed at the Mid-Atlantic, maybe also at ASMFC, of some additional capacity may be coming online further south. And I think both votes for increased trip limits were unanimous, if my memory is correct.
Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little bit confused about the states having a different regulation than the federal on a federal fishery. In my opinion, if you go to a lower limit, that's not consistent with the federal fishery, and the federal fishery then is out 1,000 pounds, what are they going to do with it? So what I'm saying is when there is inconsistencies, the federal government ought to think about being consistent and this preemption thing. But I don't. If there's a robust fishery, we shouldn't be held hostage to the states on a federal fishery. I've said it before, but I like to say it every now and then.
Spoken like a true Republican.
Dr. Pierce, can you unwind this?
Yeah, as Paul always makes me chuckle on this one because this is his pet peeve. The states to the south, so to speak, from New York south, have individual state quotas established through ASMFC. Therefore, because they have specific state quotas, they are entitled to establish whatever trip limit they choose to set for themselves. However, there are no state quotas in the New England states because New England states have decided that's not the way we wish to go at this time. So whatever is established by this council, and actually ASMFC said it, ASMFC has gone with a 4,000 for the New England states, so we're at 4,000. This is sort of that's one reason why the 4,000 that's being offered up or will be offered up as part of the motion makes so much sense, because the states who have a lead role in controlling the amount of dogfish that will be landed have already gone with the 4,000, the New England states. So notwithstanding the specific concerns about whether or not the states have done something that is outlandish and that the preemption should be considered, as suggested by Paul, that's the way it is. And 4,000, if adopted by this council, would just complement what the New England states have already adopted through the Spiny Dogfish Board.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In southern New England, just to be plain about it, 3,000 pounds per day is below the profitability threshold for our boats, particularly the boats that travel a little further out, and I'm thinking now of the monkfish boats. 4,000 pounds a day allows them to enter the fishery. 3,000 really doesn't, so I would support 4,000.
Anyone else? Dave Gaethel?
You know, one last question on the 4,000. If this had been a normal year, in other words, the dogfish had stayed in shore, would we have, if we run a projection that shows the 4,000 pounds keeps the fishery open for the year, or does the 4,000 pounds result in a premature closure and increased discards after that time?
I don't have the answer to that.
Any other questions, Phil?
I would expect that the calculations of the 4,000 trip limit would not have put you over the quota, or it wouldn't have been put forward as a plausible option.
Dr. Pierce, do you have a motion?
Yes, I have a motion to make, and as Phil indicated, the Mid-Atlantic made a number of motions, but in the interest of time and simplicity, I would just turn your attention to the PowerPoint presentation and slide it's the slide that shows the summary of the management measures where we see for year 2013, 14, and 15. There are different ABCs, ACLs, ACTs, TALs, and then the all-important quota, and then the research set-aside amount, plus the trip limits. So those are the numbers this council is now being asked to consider through this motion. So if you would, Karen. This is a motion that embraces all of those numbers, and you just have to go to that summary table that reflects the numbers in this motion. So I would move that the council adopt the following specifications for spiny dogfish. to adopt spotting dog wish in 2013, an ACL of 54.295 million pounds, equivalent to domestic ABC, an act of 52.598 million pounds, corresponding to a TAL of 40,900 million pounds, resulting in a commercial quota of 40.842 million pounds. To adopt spiny dogfish in 2014, an ACL of 55.277 million pounds, equivalent to domestic ABC. An act of 53.540 million pounds, corresponding to a TAL of 41.842 million pounds, resulting in a commercial quota of 41.784 million pounds. To adopt spiny dogfish in 2015, an ACL of 55.063 million pounds, equivalent to domestic ABC, an act of 53.335 million pounds, corresponding to a TAL of 41.637 million pounds, resulting in a commercial quota of 41.579 million pounds. And then, to adopt a trip limit of 4,000 pounds for spiny dogfish in 2013, 14, and 15, to allow a research set aside of up to 3%, 1.254 million pounds of a commercial quota of the commercial quota in 2014, to allow a research set aside of up to 3%, 1.247 million pounds of the commercial quota in 2015. So it's a rather long motion, Mr. Chairman. I know it does violate the Pierce rule, but I didn't write this motion. That's why I referenced the summary table that you have in the presentation. So that is the motion. I believe I need a second because this was not.
It is the motion of the
it is the committee.
The committee.
Okay. All right. So it needs, does not need a second.
You're testing my patience this morning, Dr. Pierce. But seeing as how you're the one who put it up there, I mean, you can violate the Pierce rule. It is a committee motion, no second required. Discussion. Seeing none, I will go to the audience. Is there any comments on this motion? Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would caution the council that, you know, setting the quota for a three-year period right now would possibly memorialize decisions that were based on antiquated knowledge of dogfish. As we speak, there is a peer review process underway for some work that Dr. James Stulikowski has done that will completely revolutionize our understanding of the resource. To be as blunt as I can, everything we know about dogfish that drives these decisions is wrong. It's pretty amazing, but we really have to find a way to take as many out of the ocean as we can. They are a plague. A little bit up every year isn't going to do it. You know, the analysis that he's come up with, which is being peer-reviewed right now, is that we will not recover a lot of stocks based on the abundance of dogfish in the eastern part of the Atlantic Ocean. Eastern coast. So I would memorializing bad decisions is not a good thing. So if we could build flexibility to accept incoming knowledge or understanding of this breed going forward and revisit this as needed and as is appropriate, I think it would be a good thing to accept incoming information. So writing this in stone, maybe on day one, seems like a great idea, but a year from now, when all of this work has been peer-reviewed and accepted and has pretty much blown up the scientific perception of what the breed or resource is capable of doing on its own and to other stocks, it just seems like a good move to consider that a possibility. And one other thing, from my perspective as a fisherman, I do not ever want to have this council think that it's okay to let the processors define our access. If they cannot process the fish, that translates to other opportunity for other processors. We're trying to grow the infrastructure that handles dogfish, and by giving them too much of a say in how much the quota is set at or how many days we can land it, it may be great for them, but for the fishermen, it's always better when there's more competition as opposed to less. Thank you.
Ted?
Yeah, Ted Platts, Newport, Rhode Island. Yeah, I agree with everything Chris has said. We've talked about this report before. I just think I'd like to encourage the council to think of this as a starting point. We've been mismanaging dogfish for quite a while. The 4,000-pound limit is a step in the right direction, but I think it's a step. Yeah, I realize there are some concerns associated with it being an open-access fishery, and you don't want to take too big of a step. But I'm not sure that 4,000 pounds is going to cut it in terms of getting these dogfish out of the ocean and moving towards a more balanced ecosystem. And I think you need to keep it in mind that you're probably going to have to think about either increased daily limits or something like an aggregate landing program. I mean, gillnetters, we can go out and catch our weekly limit in 3 days if we declare into a VMS, go land it, and come back in 3 days and, you know, fish for the next 4 days. It'll reduce discards by more than half, you know, and there are discards in this fishery. You know, I was surprised to see baby thresher sharks in our nets. There are definitely some benefits to getting out there, doing your business, and getting done with it, being letting fishermen be efficient. And this model is still based on this make fishermen an efficient concept that we have it from Days at Sea. So I'm not going to belabor the point. I just, you know, think you need to think of this as a starting point and not a solution, because I don't believe this is a final solution. Thanks.
Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the council. I'm Jeff Kalin with Lunds Fisheries in Cape May, New Jersey, and we're supporting the motion. I don't disagree with anything that Chris or Ted said. This is incremental. We are looking at other processing opportunities at Lunds Fisheries because the pelagic opportunities that we built the company on are being minimized. For example, we're not going to be able to go herring fishing for 6 months at all. We had to tie up the mackerel boats last February and so forth. So we're looking at other opportunities. This fishery provides an opportunity for us. We're selling product around the world, and we appreciate the incremental steps towards allowing us access to this resource and the opportunity for the fishermen to bring in higher volumes, minimizing discards and so forth. So we're in support of the motion, and we appreciate this council taking the same action that the Mid-Atlantic Council took. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience?
My name's Stephen Carver. I'm a longline fisherman out of Brant Rock, Massachusetts. And I'm adamantly opposed to increasing the daily catch limit to 4,000 pounds. At 3,000 pounds, there are plenty of small boats that are able to go out, make a day's pay. And on top of that, at 3,000 pounds, the processors are telling us to take days off so that they can catch up. And what that does to us, it costs us a day or two for the process to catch up. The gurry plants need to catch up. We're flooding the market. And on top of that, they drop the price on us because there's too many fish on the market at the time. If you go to a 4,000-pound limit, not only are you flooding the market, they're going to drop the price, but you're also knocking out the potential for small boats to stay in this industry. Small boat fishermen are able to go out, set a certain number of hooks, come in with their 3,000 pounds safely, and make a day's pay. You put it to 4,000 pounds, now some of the smaller boats are at risk. It's not a safe environment for them. And not only that, but the price is going to drop. It's just not worth it. By a 4,000-pound daily limit, it's causing more attention toward larger boats, gillnetters, dragomen, that are going to be targeting dogfish more so than they have in the past. In doing that, they're bringing in a less quality fish. The fish have been hanging out dead in a net overnight, a couple of days sometimes. Dragged fish, they're coming up squished. It's just, it's a lesser quality fish. You're bringing in hook fish from smaller boats. It's a better quality fish, and the better quality fish will demand a higher price. It's unfortunate to me that you're even considering 4,000 pounds a day, and I just wanted to state that you're driving the smaller boat fishermen out of the industry. Thank you.
Anyone else in the...
Hi, it's Ted Lagenza. I'm a hook fisherman. I fish for dog fishing this summer. I've been doing so for a long time. And we had a 2,000-pound limit. They were worth about 23 cents, 24 cents. And when it went to 3,000, we got between 13 and 19 cents. This year it was 18 cents. So I found myself catching another 1,000 pounds of dogfish for, I don't know, maybe an extra $60 or something like that, which really wasn't worth it if I counted the extra bait I had to buy, the extra fuel and the extra time I was out there. It was not worth it whatsoever. So looking at history in the fishery so far, it's really not worth it to increase to four. You got a fish that lives for 30 years. You get a fish this big, it's 30 years old, and, you know, it's stupid to throw it away for less money. I consider dogfish as a resource. I've made a living catching them for quite a while now, and I understand other people want to get into the business and catch more of them. I think that if we have a high quota, which set it at 3,000 pounds, and then come the middle of September or something like that, if it looks like we're not going to catch the quota, then increase it as much as you want to catch that quota rather than selling for cheap earlier in the year. And they need the dogfish more in September. And that would be the sensible way to do it rather than killing them for less money. And I know people want to get them out of the ocean. But where I fish out of Chatham, which was one of the best places for cod fishing in the world, we just don't have any codfish anymore. And to throw away a resource when you really don't have any codfish around, what are you going to have afterwards? And the codfish aren't going to rebound immediately in my area because we have a problem with seals. So we do away with the dogfish in our area, and we don't have anything left. I find dogfish a very important part of making a living in Chatham. And I really would like to see it stay at three. I have no problem with increasing the quota as much as you want in September. And it's a sensible way to do it. You guys are, you know, you got all these theories if you can bring in more fish and this and that, but this is really what's happened. And not only that, in Chatham, we have a lot of small boats, and the dog fishery opened up. They bought boats that would handle 2,000. Now they're putting on 3,000, and they're having problems. A lot of guys bought trucks that they could put 3,000 on, and you go to 4,000. It's just you keep on changing the rules all the time for something somebody wants to do, then you keep on putting other people out of business. I know they say, well, bring in 3,000 and don't bring in 4,000. Well, at the 13 cents, it doesn't make any sense anymore. So you're putting other fishermen in and you're putting other fishermen out in my area.
John Whiteside.
Good morning. John Whiteside. I represent the Sustainable Fisheries Association, which are the dogfish processors. Many of you have heard me speak already before the Commission and the Mid-Atlantic Council and urging a cautionary approach, setting both the annual quotas and the daily trip limits. I would echo the comments that have been made on the last two speakers of urging the Council to adopt a 3,000-pound trip limit that would assist them in maintaining the prices where we are. There is a, at the moment, until more markets are opened up, a limit on how much we can sell and how much we can process and how much the Gari plants can handle. And that's just a, in a way, a choke in the whole process. So we would urge a cautionary approach both on the annual quota and on the daily trip limits. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Chairman Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to address one of the points raised by the speakers. I believe Chris Brown indicated that some concern about multi-year specifications as that relates to considering new science. And I just wanted to point out that by adopting multi-year specifications in this fishery, that won't preclude us from considering new information as it becomes available. We could overwrite these specifications in the out years should that be indicated by any significant changes in the available scientific information. So I just want to point that out. It does, though, provide for some better planning than we've had in the past. We've heard a lot from the public about not wanting to be subjected to so much whipsawing from year to year in the regulations, and this multi-year approach is designed to address that concern. But it doesn't prevent us from considering additional information in the future.
Thank you. Anyone else on the council? Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I definitely recognize and hear a lot of people's concern, especially on the small boat side, with increasing this. And we certainly saw going from 2 to 3,000, the price did drop. But we have a pretty significant increase in the overall quota. We're going to run into problems, I think, ensuring that we actually utilize every pound of that. And I think it's our responsibility to do that. So to balance that with a long season, I think 4,000 makes that balance possible. And I hear those concerns, but we need access to build those markets. And this is the way to do this, I think. So I support this motion.
Anyone else? I'll call the question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. Sixteen in favor. Opposed? Abstention? 1. 16-01, the motion carries. Dr. Pierce.
I have no other business, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, we're a little bit ahead of schedule, but we will move into monkfish.